I am so fortunate to have all my sisters here with me this weekend. And right now I'm talking to Michaela Angela Davis. If you look at her, you know she's beautiful and gorgeous, but you also know she's smart as heck, and we pull for her every time we see her on television doing those wonderful interviews, explaining our point of view everybody. We're so proud of
Thank you. Thank you. It's an honor. It's an honor to represent black women. It's an honor. It's
a
privilege.
Why do you call it a privilege and an honor?
Because we are the laborers, the dreamers, the doers, the holders of community, the holders of style and swag. Like, black women are, it's a privilege. It is. Look at who we are, what we've done, despite, in spite of so many obstacles, and the way that, the fact that this is called Power Rising, we've always been rising, and we lift others up with us. And that, I think that's the thing that is the biggest privilege, is that black women bring others with us. And it's a privilege.
And that's important, isn't it?
Yeah.
And is that what brings you to Power Rising?
Yeah, well, first it's Mignon and Leah. Like, let's be clear. When Mignon says, can you show up, you show up. Because of how they've showed up for us, right?
Exactly.
So I really was coming originally just as a, as a registrant. Like, as soon as I saw it was happening, I registered. I said, I'm coming. I went on Twitter, said I was coming. And then I was privileged to be asked to moderate a panel. But I was coming because we know that we need to organize and strategize for ourselves, and that what is happening in the White House is in the White House, and the black girl house has to get itself in order while they're going crazy over there. So I think it's a really, it was not just a healing space, but it's a strategizing space for us to get busy. And I really wanted to come here too, because I'm very excited about Stacey Abrams. So I wanted to, come and see who's running, who's doing what, where can I help, where
and
can
there's
we
there's so many black women who are elected officials or are running for office or thinking about running for office, and that's a new energy. Do you find that exciting?
It's where I find all the hope, because as we're watching, my friends that it mash up the country, like while we're watching this other thing going on, that we can put our energy into getting more of us in office and raising money and get busy in something that is empowering to us, rather than being so much in the that fight doesn't even belong to us right now. Like, they working out some,
One of the things I said early on, right after a couple of things, I was down at Spelman the night of the election. DeVita and I did a live broadcast from Spelman. And it was sad to watch the young women see that what they had thought would happen was not going to happen.
Yes.
And so we started to try to comfort them and reassure them. Mm-hmm. And whenever you do that, you end up comforting and reassuring yourself.
Yes.
So I got on the airplane next day. I went up to the Capitol and lobbied for clean water for Flint.
Listen,
that's what I did on November the 9th.
Well, I was at the convention center, because I was with, I was a surrogate. And
yes, you were, and a very able one at that.
Thank you. And I was there because of all the black women in her campaign.
Yes.
And because of Mothers for the Movement. Like,
yes.
Mothers of the Movement, Sabrina Fulton, Eric Arnaz. Like, I figured if they could understand that this candidate could move them forward. And let's be clear, their single issue was gun reform. That was Jordan Davis's mom, Sabrina Fulton. They were black women on the front lines around gun violence for six straight. Trayvon Martin was murdered February 26, 6 years ago.
That's right.
So we've been doing this. Black women have bills on the floor around gun violence. So let's be clear. So it was really the mothers of the movement and their issues around gun reform is what towed me into the campaign in the first place, and then seeing all the black women that were working with the campaign, and that 96% of us did not vote for Donald Trump. Black women tried to save, as she said, we tried to save the world. And that's, again,
we did the best we could.
We always do the best we
can. We did the best we could.
We always do, and that's why it's a privilege, because no matter what, as a group, we do the right thing. And we become the compass for the country. And this time we get to shine the light on us. We're not doing it in the shadows anymore.
Yeah. I think as a patriot, I look at this time and think the country needs us right now.
Yeah.
The country needs us as much now as they needed Lincoln in the 19th century and needed Dr. King 60 years ago. The country needs us right now, whether we're comfortable with leadership or comfortable raising money.
Right.
That ain't the question. If we want the country to survive, we're going to have to.
It's going to be black women.
It's going to be black women.
We are the hope of the country.
Yeah.
And they know that.
I really feel that.
And you know why? I think part of it is because we are able to hold multiple things at one time. We are the, you know, consummate multitaskers. We are intersectional. So we can think about family and God and politics and our hair and our church all at the same time. Most people are singular. Patriarchy makes you singular. White supremacy makes you singular.
Black capitalism women, makes you singular.
So black women are just inherently able to hold multiple ideas.
That is a beautiful, that is a wonderful way of putting it. I never heard it put that way. That we're the original multitaskers.
We define that.
We can think about being black and female at the same time.
At the same time. We can think about dinner and the white, like, look at what our ancestors did. Look at how they were able to manage. Look at what Harriet Tubman, there's nobody more multitasking than Harriet Tubman. If Harriet Tubman were a man, she would be on Mount Everest, and if she were a white man, she'd be God. I mean, considering what she did.
Considering what she did and the amount of work
and how she did it. Because if you're black and woman and poor, that's, you know, every boot is on your neck. And that you were still able to tow, literally physically tow people out of bondage into freedom.
And we've had so many sheroes like that.
Yes.
Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth.
I
think about Fannie Lou Hamer as one of my favorites because she took a beating like a man and stood up to it.
She took a beating like a woman.
Thank you.
Like a black woman.
Thank you.
Because
she did.
Who takes more beatings, you know?
And took over that Democratic Party and made it her own and paved the way for the Mignons and for the Alexises and the people who came after her.
That's right. So it is a privilege, right?
Yeah, it is a privilege. And thank you. This is a privilege for me to sit and talk to you like this and watching you on television. It's good to see you.
Thank you.
Right here with us.
Thank
Hope you enjoy the rest of your visit.
Yes.
Makayla Angela Davis.